Hey, my fellow beepers, welcome to the Bipolar Nation Podcast. My name is Joe Sisk. You can email me, bipolarnationpodcast@gmail.com. Glad to have you along. Now, this is the first episode of this particular series of podcasts, but it is the spiritual successor of the Bipolar Nation Podcast I did several years ago. So some of y'all may be familiar with that work if you're coming across this work. So if so, just bear with me. We're kind of going from the top here. The first thing I want to talk about is who I am. My name is Joe Sisk. I am bipolar. I'm type 2 bipolar. Last time they were diagnosed, I don't know if that really, you know, has any bearing on anything. They may change it again on me here soon when I get my next evaluation. But as of the moment, I'm diagnosed bipolar type 2. I've struggled all my life with emotions, with the ability to deal with my emotions. A lot of the symptoms we're going to be mentioning today are very indicative of the behaviors I have been performing in the past. And let me tell you, folks, some of this stuff is taking me through some dark places and taking me into some bad things. I've had some real failures in life because of the emotions and the lack of control that I've had. So I just want to reach out to you guys and share with you guys my stories, my thoughts, my opinions, my research on what it is to be bipolar, so that maybe you guys can avoid some of the same mistakes I've made, or at the very least feel a little less alone out there in the world, because it's so easy to be overwhelmed, especially when you're in situations to where there's nobody else to support you. Now personally, I grew up in a family, my biological father was not in the picture, and because of that, mental illness seemed to run on his side of the family. So I'm in a family that does not have any major mental illness noted in it. So I was the only one that was different. And let me tell you, that was a really hard thing to do, was to grow up being the only one that had these feelings, the only one that didn't know how to cope, the only one who had to go through these things and not having anybody that could sympathize or empathize with me in any manner. So it's a really difficult thing. And now I just want to reach out to you guys, because I don't want anybody to feel like I felt like back then. So let's look at some of the details about bipolar disorder. You know, it's mood swings. Many experience traumatic mood swings, going to really emotional highs and then falling to a very emotional lows. And some having more normal mood swings in between. And then some of them only have mild mood swings, a little high and a little low. You know, two of the big symptoms of bipolar disorder are mania and depression. Mania is a term that describes emotional highs of bipolar disorder. Mania, or a manic episode, is usually characterized by feelings of extreme energy, restlessness, or irritability. In general, symptoms of a manic episode may include high energy, excessive activity, and or restlessness. Lord knows I get that a lot of times. I've been going through that here lately. I think I'm pushing a little manic right now, even with my medication, because I have a great deal of fidgeting, a great deal of restlessness, a great deal of excessive activity, wanting to do things, go to places, get things done. I have a little bit more energy than I usually do. So, you know, that's definitely something I've got to watch out for myself. Overly good mood. It's real easy to be happy when you're manic. Happy to the point of being almost creepy happy, I guess you could say. Irritability. That also comes with manic behaviors, the irritable factor. Fast, erratic talking. You can probably tell by the voice I do in this podcast that I get fast and erratic and rush my speech a lot. I'm trying my best to keep myself slowed down, but it is true that I have a tendency to be erratic in speaking and fast in speaking. Racing thoughts is another symptom of bipolar disorder that is very, very common. And that's where your brain is going a million miles a minute and you can't figure out what's going on and you can't get all the thoughts out. By the time you get one thought out halfway out of your mouth, your brain's already moved on to a different thought and you want to go with it and you end up not making any sense to anybody and your brain's just going buzz like a buzzsaw in your head and you can't help it and you're just thinking a million things at once. Which leads to the next one, which is inability to concentrate. This is something I dealt with personally too, because you get racing thoughts, you get crazy excited, and then all of a sudden you can't focus. You have little need for sleep. Oh, that's true. Whenever I'm going through a manic phase or a hypomanic phase, either one, I just sleep. Who needs sleep? Sleep is sort of the dead, you know. You sleep when you're dead. And this lack of sleep is not good for our bodies. It's not good for our mental state. But it is a sign of mania, this mania side of bipolar disorder. Feelings of power are also common with mania. I know I've had instances in my life where I thought I had superpowers. I mean, I honestly did. I was psychotic enough that I thought I could move things with my mind because I was so manic and so pushed that I just, you know, feel like I had power. Poor judgment. Oh, don't we all know what that one is? Most of us, if you're bipolar or know somebody's bipolar, you've seen the poor judgment definitely come into play. So, that's for sure true because, you know, we'll do stupid things like drink and drive or have promiscuous sex or just do all kinds of stupid stunts that are just going to break our necks and bust our heads open because we don't have any judgment. Reckless spending. Oh, when I'm manic and I have money, I don't have it for long. It goes out the window, folks, just in a heartbeat. Alright, high sex drive is another one. Oh, when you're manic, better watch out, we're like rabbits. You know, always wanting to get done with the deed, so that's absolutely true and something I find very true in my life about how I tend to become extremely amorous in that situation whenever I'm manic. Plus, on top of it, you throw in a lot of times I get obsessive over doing certain things and in relations to with a partner and this it turns into a humongous mess. Alcohol or drug abuse. So I know I was an alcoholic there for a little while when I was a teenager. They say, you know, you don't have to be an alcoholic for years and years to be an alcoholic. It don't take very long at all to get yourself to be an alcoholic. And I was manic for a while when I was 17 and I drank like a fish. And, you know, it was just the only thing that mattered to me. You know, aggression, another sign of mania is aggression. You're so happy, but it turns to anger very easily. And then finally, with manic symptoms, there's a refusal to admit there is a problem because you feel good, or you feel up, and, you know, you're like, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't want to take these stupid pills. I don't want to deal with none of that. You know, and that's a real problem. So the severity of manic symptoms can vary in bipolar disorder, and most people will not experience all the symptoms at once or all the symptoms at all. In some forms of bipolar disorder, people will experience hypomania, which is a milder form of mania that usually feels good. People who are experiencing hypomania can often function well and be more productive than usual. But left untreated, hypomania can develop into severe mania or can change into depression. If your elevated or irritable mood is accompanied by manic symptoms most of the day, nearly every day for at least 1 week, your doctor may diagnose a manic episode. So, if you're having racing thoughts and erratic talking and irritability and overly good mood, feelings of power, high sex drive, alcohol or drug abuse, aggression, reckless spending and poor judgment, you may well need to be seen by a doctor so they can diagnose a manic episode in you and get you the help that you need. If your elevated mood is accompanied by periods of emotional lows, those are known as depressive episodes. Signs of a depressive episode is sadness, anxiety, or feeling empty, hopelessness, guilt, feeling worthless or feeling helpless, lack of interest in activities that were once enjoyable, such as sex, low energy, trouble with concentration or memory, restlessness or irritability. Funny how irritability falls on both sides. You can be irritable manic and you can be irritable depressed, which makes it very difficult to understand which one is which sometimes. Excessive sleeping or even insomnia. Lack of sleep, which is kind of funny because lack of sleep also falls on the manic side. Changes in appetite or weight. Oftentimes, at least in my experience, I'm one of these people, I get depressed, I eat. You know, the more I eat. When I get manic, I eat less. I get depressed, I eat more. I know that may not be true for all of you guys, but that's how it is for me. Pain or other physical symptoms not explained by an illness or injury. Being depressed hurts, people. You have pains and aches and just it's just nasty. It's just terrible. And there's no physical cause for it. And thoughts of death, suicidal thoughts, or suicidal attempts. A diagnosis for depressive episodes may be made if at least 5 of these symptoms are present for most of the day, nearly every day, for 2 weeks or longer. And then we have mood swings that happen where you swing between one mood and the other. One of these, you know, mania and depression, which is really hard because you're dealing with both, basically, at the same time. So I can give you some examples, like the good mood thing and all that. I have a lot of times when I have racing thoughts, and I talk really fast. Y'all probably ever know, if you listen to me very long, you'll notice sometimes when I do podcasts, I'm in an up. I don't tend to podcast when I'm depressed because I don't really have interest in doing so. Lack of interest in things you love, just like the depression thing said, I use lack of interest in my podcasting. So whenever I do podcast, a lot of times I podcast when I'm up, and when I'm up, I have pressured speech, I talk too fast, I'm hard to understand sometimes, and you know, things like that. So that's kind of an example of what I do. And I have an inability to concentrate because I'll switch subjects and mid-sentence almost sometimes to try to get my point across while not realizing that I abandoned the point I was just making, you know. And, excuse me, feelings of power, like I said, I told you, talking about the whole super teleconnect thing that I experienced in the psychotic episode that I had whenever I was doing this stuff a long time ago. You know, when I was dealing with this stuff a long time ago, I was also, at the time, unmedicated and untreated, so that didn't help in any shape, form, or fashion. So, you know, medication therapy, I find, you know, there are a lot of people in this world that say medication therapy is horrible and no good and all that, but I feel that medication therapy has been a real benefit for me. I take several medications, Abilify, lithium, medications similar such as that to help deal with my bipolar disorder, and it does help. I don't have quite as low dark lows as I had before, and I don't have quite as flying highs as I had without the medication, and that is always a definite positive improvement in my life. So I definitely urge you, if you have bipolar, if you're bipolar in any form, seek medical help. Seek help from them. There's help to be had out there, and you'll be better off for it. So definitely do that. That is something that I feel is very important, and, you know, something that really is something we need to look after, because you can't just fight this disease alone. I spent, I would say, 8 years of my life trying to control this disorder by myself and do it by myself and live by myself and all that. And you know what happened what I got for it? I got no family. I got my girlfriend left me. I got dumped out to the side, and now I'm in a terrible position because of it. But it's not because of anything she did or anything else. It's because of the fact that I lived my life trying to manage bipolar disorder on my own and failing miserably and having the irritability and all those other symptoms and taking them out on the people around me. Now, I mean, as a teenager, I did the same thing. Some of the most epic fights you've ever seen were between me and my parents because I was bipolar and they didn't understand. You know, I mean, my mother understood a little bit because of the experiences she had with my biological father's family, but the man I call my dad, who raised me from a year old, my stepdad technically, he doesn't have any experience with it, so a lot of times he doesn't know how to deal with it, and a lot of times mom doesn't know how to deal with it either, because it doesn't make sense to her either. You know, she's just like, you're acting like those other people, and I didn't understand those other people, and I don't understand you. You know, but they try their best. They really do try their best, but, excuse me. But the point remains is that it's very difficult when you have nobody to go, you know, yeah, I know exactly what you're going through right there. And have all these living in the world full of what I call normies. You know, normal people, we call them normies. You know, that just don't get any idea that influence and emotion and things that influence emotion are powerful for us, that are dangerous for us, because they can trigger emotional outbursts, and they can trigger depression, and they can trigger mania, and all the things that we are so desperately trying to avoid and keep out of the way. So we're going to go ahead and keep this podcast short just to let y'all know about what we're going through. Want to talk a little bit about the symptoms and the, you know, if you have anything like I read, the racing thoughts, the hypersexuality, the hyperreligiosity, feelings of power, things like that. If you have the irritability or the insomnia or sleeping far too much or overeating or undereating, or any of those things I talked about, please seek out care from a medical professional. Now, next time when we come back, I'll probably have some stories for y'all, talk about some skills for coping and what all has worked for me and everything. But I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Joe. Good to meet you. Email me at smartfaithpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. And until next time, be well.